Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today.
Hi, Steve Arterburn here with Milan Yurkovich, and as soon as they get that flat fixed, Sherry Keffer is going to be joining us, formerly Denim. Yeah, I've even forgotten about that. Anyway, we're glad you're with us. Going to be in the studio for three, count them, 3 hours, and you can join us at 1-800-229-3000. 1-800-229-3000. Come join us for New Life.
I really appreciate the advice you guys give people. It's from a biblical perspective, and just listening has really helped me in some way.
One of my sisters began to have an affair with my husband.
Really?
You're a mom, and you're afraid of your mom?
Yeah.
Does she breathe fire?
Well, yeah.
See, love's a decision, because when Jesus tells us in John 14, new commandment I give you, to love each other, and love is more than just a feeling. There's a decision. There's a choice in that.
Whoa! Can we go into a different conversation here?
I reckon.
At a later time in life, when the child's 22, closeness can end up being toxic.
You can't go to therapy and not feel.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here. I am alive, and it is a new day with Milan Yurkovich. Hi, Milan.
Steve, how are you?
Good. And let's pray for Sherry. She had a flat tire. And, this happens sometimes when you're not mindful of your car. And
driving.
Driving. Yeah. And you can, really miss it. But, she'll be here in a little bit. We're glad you're with us here today. And if you want to join us on the radio, it's 1-800-229-3000. I'm going to be speaking at Coast Hills Community Church tonight at around 6:30 or so. And ironically, I'm talking about technology. Ironically, on the Today Show, they were talking about this website, ask.fm, which is, I think it's located in Lithuania or someplace like that. 80 million kids on this site, and you ask anything you want to ask of other people on the site. So a lot of kids that don't feel real good about themselves ask, what do you think of me?
Oh.
And 10 suicides have occurred that they know of from kids being bullied on that site and being told that they're ugly or, whatever. And that's what I'm going to be talking about tonight.
What's your key point going to be? That the tension between how good technology can be and the evils of it, or what?
Well, it's like anything that is great and wonderful and fun, it needs to have limits set upon it. But this is so dangerous, it needs to be monitored. And so it's a message of how do you do that? And then I think a bigger message is have a life, a family life, that is so much fun and involved, exciting, interesting, that you're doing stuff other than everybody goes to their hiding place and they do media
like
stuff.
Watch dad read the newspaper, something more exciting than that.
Right.
Okay. There was a study that came out of Oxford, England last year.
I quote their studies all the
time.
Do
you really? Yeah. Okay. Well, or it was Cambridge. I've one of those. And it was that anything over 2 hours on screen time is not good for your development.
Interesting that you should say so.
Really?
Because I say on a weeknight, limit it to 1 hour of screen time. And on the weekend, 2 hours a day screen time. And that is very difficult for a lot of parents to do.
Now, we're not talking about work like homework or
no.
those kinds of things. We're just talking about a lot of the social media as well as the entertainment, the games, the videos, and all that stuff where people become antisocial, non-social.
That's right.
Unlike you and me.
And it is shocking, the statistics of how many kids have seen pornography on here. I'll give it when we come back from the break. What the
do you want to borrow my glasses?
No.
Okay, you're okay.
Oh, here it is.
Here it is.
70% of kids 8 to 18 have accidentally encountered online pornography, very often by entering an innocent search term.
That happened to me once. I'll tell you about it after the break.
All right. And I'll tell you about the age group that has been identified as, they say, the largest users of pornography. It's kind of shocking. We'll be back right after this for New Life Live.
I've been struggling since I was probably in my mid-20s.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
I honestly felt like I was on an island all by myself, and I was the only one in the world that was like this, you mm-hmm. know, and why did God create me like this?
Find hope today at New Life's Every Man's Battle Workshop.
When I went to Every Man's Battle right from the very beginning, I realized that this is every man's battle, not just my battle.
Yeah.
Become the man you want to be, the husband your wife needs you to be, the father your children can look up to.
Every Man's Battle explains to you why you are like you are, and they give you the tools, and they teach you the scriptures, and they show you how to work your way through the problems and where to get help and how to get help and who to get help through.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
Don't wait. Just go ahead and go, and it'll make a huge difference in your life and your family's life.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, and Mylon was going to tell us about his experience with pornography.
It was horrible.
What happened?
Well, I was at my daughter's house, and she was looking for one of those baby slings that you carry a baby in.
Right. Which I carried Solomon in at your fundraiser. I still remember that.
Yes, you did. And it looked very handsome with it, I might say.
Thank you.
It didn't take away from your masculinity.
Oh,
I just thought I'd go ahead and say that.
Thanks.
And so I Googled baby sling.
Baby sling?
Yep. Something that innocent. And instead of hitting search, my little arrow went over to feeling lucky. Whatever that little box does, I have no idea.
I've never seen the feeling lucky box.
It's right there on Google. I'm feeling lucky today. Thank
you. Oh,
and all of a sudden, a million porn sites came up on my son-in-law's computer, and it ruined his computer. They could not clean all that off. He had to start all over again with a computer.
Well, let me show you something I did real simply. And look at this. See that little box right there?
Yeah, I do.
No pictures come up on my computer from anything anybody sends me unless I push that button to download pictures.
Nice.
Now, that's a really important control. But anyway, here's what this one statistic said, that the biggest users, the biggest group of users of pornography are 12 to 17-year-old kids.
Wow.
And I was talking to a guy that is over supervision of a middle school. He said he believes that.
Yeah.
Well, I can. That's shocking.
Well, I can too. Why? Because this age group is at the peak of two things, impulsivity and emerging sexuality.
Right.
And when you put those two things together, they don't have the ability to stop, restrain, or control themselves. And their curiosity factor is over the top.
You should be giving the talk tonight, really.
Well, you know, I learned all that from you.
Okay. Let's go to Elida from Bakersfield, California. She listens online. Is it Elida? Is that how you say it?
Alida.
Alida. I like Alida better, Elida. Okay. How can we help you today? What's going on?
Well, I went to the Women in the Battle conference, a workshop this weekend.
Yes.
And can I just say, wow.
Really?
Amazing. Powerful, life-changing.
Oh, that is so great to hear. Now, what were you thinking before you went? Were you excited about it, scared about it, or what mindset did you have?
I was angry.
Mm-hmm.
Hated the fact that I had to be there. Hated the fact that other women were there and that they just represented a drop in the bucket in an ocean of women who need to be there. So I didn't really go in with the best of attitude.
Yeah. Well, what would you say would be maybe the most significant thing that turned things around? And let me tell you what I'm talking about. I was talking to a guy yesterday who went to Every Man's Battle. And, I mean, healing is a choice. And he said the most significant time of his life was, and he started with, David had a slingshot and a rock, and he killed his giant. At the end of Healing is a Choice, he said, I had a rock and a permanent Sharpie pen, mm-hmm. where he wrote on that rock. And so he said, that was my life-changing moment. Was there anything
the surrender
like that?
Service.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Was there anything like that for you, Alita?
Well, they had this ceremony where you wrote down some core beliefs.
Yeah.
And then you took a cup of red paint that mm-hmm. represented Jesus' blood, and you wiped away all of those really bad
beliefs. That's cool.
I have seen that both at Every Man's Battle and at Women in the Battle, and it is quite moving. Okay, so...
You know, Alita, you don't sound angry anymore.
I am so not angry, and God has allowed me to share this experience and the truth that I learned there with my codependency class, my Betrayal and Beyond group. They've even said that I look 10 years younger.
Wow. Whoa, that is so cool. Now, this we're going to put that on the brochure. We don't have a brochure for women in the Bible.
This will make
you
look 10 years younger.
Do, yes. We're going to say...
Forget plastic surgery, ladies. Yeah. Go to Women in the Battle, and you can look 10 years younger in one weekend.
So you're talking, Alita, you're talking about an emotional makeover, aren't you?
Absolutely. I can't even explain. I walked in there with this heavy, heavy weight on my shoulders and my neck, extremely painful, and I walked out there light as a feather.
Oh, love
Jesus,
that.
This weekend has set me free. And the Bible says, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed.
Amen. Hey, I'm going to send you the Bible. I'm going to send you the 7-Minute Marriage Devotional Bible as our way of saying thanks for talking to us. God bless you. I hope you have motivated some women to get involved. And also, I hope you've motivated some women to tell their husband they can still get into Every Man's Battle this Friday in Orange County. It'll change everything. Please call us. Let's go to Jamie from Richmond, Virginia, watches on television. Hello, Jamie. Welcome to New Life.
Hello. How are you?
Great. How are you?
I'm good, actually, and I'm so excited and nervous all at the same time to be talking to you.
So are we. Yeah. We're excited and nervous, aren't we?
We are quite frequently excited and nervous. All right. So we're all in this together.
Okay, good. Okay. I'm calling because I had a pretty dysfunctional childhood. I'm kind of starting to just kind of realize that now. I'm 34. I've been married for 12 years.
Okay.
And I have 3 little boys. I have an 8-year-old, 7-year-old, and a 6-month-old baby. And he naps between 12 and 1, and I watch you guys every day at lunch.
Okay.
And so I'm trying to do this before he wakes up. So I'm calling because I can tell you my question first, if you want, and then kind of explain why I'm asking.
Okay.
My question, I wrote it down, is how do I have proper balance between stressing discipline to my children but not destroying our relationship between us or destroying their spirit in the process? And the reason that is my question is because when I said my childhood was kind of dysfunctional, my parents divorced when I was 10, and I never had a proper parent-child model, you know, my entire life, not even with my grandparents. Or anything like that. And so now I found myself with these little boys, and, you know, I'm just my constant kind of fear that I have is, am I doing this right? Am I training them right? And I've got cousins now even that are in their early 20s and are dealing with drug issues,
mm-hmm.
and it's affecting all of our family.
All right, so how do you discipline?
Well, my husband and I, we're usually on the same page, so I'm not dealing with anything like that. Can I give you a rundown of what happened, like, yesterday?
Okay.
You can kind of tell.
All right.
My 8-year-old, he told us a lie. Well, he told me a lie twice.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not a bad kid or anything like that. I don't want to paint him as such. And he's a good student, good boy, good heart. But he lied to us. You know?
Okay. What'd you do?
And so what I did is I gave him 2 chances to be truthful. He lied both times because I already knew the story and from his teacher. And so and he lied. And then I said, got very specific in the question, and then he knew he was busted. And he said, okay, Mama, you know, and he came clean.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, honey, you lied to me. You lied to me, and you lied to me twice. And I said, so, you know, this is, you're not going to have television today or tomorrow. And that's like his big thing, TV, because he is only eight. I can't really take away anything, you know, his phone or his car. And then we talked to him. You know, I called his daddy and told him what happened or whatnot. And I just, and long story short, there's something in me, and this goes back to my childhood, that feels like I am not doing enough to my kids if I'm not, like, driving the point home really, really hard.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. Okay. So Mylon's raised a few, and I would imagine he's got an insight or two about this, and then I'll share what I'm thinking. Mylon, what do you think?
Well, Jamie, thank you for your question. It's a great question. And, you know, there's always that delicate balance between grace and truth. And with truth, then there needs to be justice and there does need to be discipline. I think what you did showed some compassion and mercy. You weren't overly harsh with him. He paid a natural consequence. And I think children need to be a part of and feel the results of natural consequences, because that's what the reality of adult life is. If I don't show up for work, I can lose a job. So if I lie to my boss, I can, you know, have a problem with that. Mm-hmm. From people, from your background, Jamie, a lot of people tend to adhere to highly rigid forms of discipline where there's no grace, there's no truth, there's no mercy. It's just, I have to come down harsh all the time. And what I felt from you, even the way you described the conversation where you called him Bud, and you know, there's this closeness that you felt, it felt appropriate. So you just want to make sure that you're not overly rigid all the time and that everything's always the same with high levels of rigidity and it's first-time obedience and all that. I'm not a fan of that, because God doesn't whack me every time I'm off base just a little bit either. You know, I'm saying, would I want, do I believe God disciplines me the way I watch some parents discipline their children?
Right.
And they don't.
Yeah.
He doesn't. He has a lot more room for grace and for the natural consequences to hit me. I would recommend reading our book, How We Love Our Kids, because we talk about the balance of what that means, as well as trying to understand the language underneath the behavior. Why did he lie?
Right. You see, and I asked him that.
Yeah. What happened, you see, that he was perhaps ashamed about? What happened that perhaps was going on underneath? It's to try and give him time the rest of the week to say, all right, have you thought any more about what happened? And to give him a chance to be educated by you, the parent, as well as to be able to find out what are the feelings I felt and why did I freeze, why did I run, why did I hide, all these different things that Adam and Eve did and we do too.
What was it that he did that you knew was not right?
It's not even that big of a deal. And I almost for a split second thought, do I really want to go down this road? But
what
I thought it is a lie.
They're
not allowed to play tag at school.
Yeah.
And because, you know, no one's allowed to get pushed or hurt these days.
Right.
So they're not allowed to play tag at school. And he played tag, and his teacher told me. And so he got 5 minutes off his recess.
Now, do you know why he lied to you?
Can I tell you why I think he lied to me?
Okay, but I'm going to tell you why he lied to you. But you tell me why you think he lied to you.
Okay. Well, I think he lied to me because he didn't want to get in trouble.
Well, that's exactly right.
So I told him, I said, you know, and I asked him, just like you said, son, why did you lie to Mama? I said, because every time you lie, there's always trouble. There's always trouble at the end of a lie. And then I told him, I said, if you had told me, yes, Mama, I did this, then this is what I would have said to you. And it would have been, you know, son, don't do that. They don't want you to. And that would have been the end of the story.
Yeah. Well, here's the point, though. You know that it's very tempting for a child that age to lie when you ask them a question because they're afraid of the discipline.
Right.
So another angle would be not to ask him about it, but just tell him. Your teacher called me and said you were playing tag. And you got punished, and I want to be sure that you know that you're not allowed to do that. That's a rule, and you've got to learn to follow the rules. And so today we're going to cut that TV off early so that you will learn the lesson. I mean, that's just another approach so that you don't set him up. to life.
That's what I was going to say. I set him up for failure.
Well, I think sometimes you have to, and we went over this with my son just a couple of days ago. Sometimes you have to, and sometimes you don't. And this seems like a time where you could have just told him what the teacher said.
Okay.
Because then there's a little trust thing there, that when mom asks me a question, she may already know the answer, and she's tricking me.
Oh.
Now, whatever you do, you want to reconnect with him very soon.
Yes.
You want to be sure that the relationship is ongoing there, and that he knows that you love him dearly, and you look each other in the eye. And
yeah.
You know, you might also want to ask him, what does he think of that rule?
Yeah.
Because as he grows older, we have to really evaluate the rules that people impose mm-hmm. upon us. And, you know, there's a lot of silly rules that float around in this world, and I'm not saying he should disobey them, but maybe you could play tag at home.
Yeah,
they do.
Yeah.
Okay,
I hope that's helpful. I'm going to send you How We Love Our Kids by Mylan and Kay Yurkovich. We'll take a break. 1-800-229-3000. 2 years ago, we took 120 people to the Holy Land.
It was an incredible adventure for us. For me now, when I open up the Bible, it just becomes alive for me.
Once you go and see and do and touch and feel, there's just a connection that you just can't explain.
We're going to Israel again in 2014. We're going to go June the 2nd through the 12th. We're going to go where David hid from Saul, Jericho, the tunnels under the Western Wall, and the Temple Steps, visiting the Wailing Wall, the Garden of Gethsemane, Masada, the Dead Sea, Mount of Olives, Bethlehem, the Garden Tomb, Caiaphas' house, and more. Then, from the 13th to the 15th, if you stay with us, we're going to go to Petra, to Mount Nebo, and to Amman.
It is probably one of the best crash courses in Bible you would ever have in your whole life.
Call Gill Travel at 1-800-223-3855. You can also get that off of our website. Ask for Donna. Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before, or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. And joining me, Mylan Yurkovich. And 1 hour from now, maybe Dr. Keffer will be here. I don't know. But let's go to Renee from Rialto, California. KKLA is the station. Hello, Renee.
Hi, how you doing? Thank you for your call.
Good to talk to you. How could
we
help you?
My situation is, it's been 6 years since I've had a job, and I'm now living back with my mother. It's been about a couple years now. And since I'm borderline bipolar, she's over here telling me this stuff about how I'm not going to succeed in life, I'm stupid, I'm retarded, I'm this and that, and she's begging me to go on disability because she wants to be sure that when she dies, I have some income coming in, regardless if I'm homeless or not. And her family is pretty much saying the same thing.
Hmm.
So how can I continue to believe God when he says that he has a future and a plan for me.
Okay.
When it seems like he has, when it seems like he's working against me.
Yeah.
Instead of for me.
Well, Renee, I'm so sorry for what you're going through, and I know it's got to feel so hopeless. Are you taking medication? Are you working with a psychiatrist?
Yes, yes. I've been diagnosed since 19, and I've been faithfully been taking my medications and seeing a doctor at a regular basis.
Okay. And do you think that the medication is doing the job that you'd think it would do?
Oh, my God, yes.
Okay.
It is. I mean, I feel the difference. I mean, while I'm
That's so good. Okay. So why do you think it is difficult for you, or in the past 6 years, impossible for you to get a job?
You know, I think it's because of the lack of the experience. I mean, I only have 6 years, I mean, 6 months of retail experience, and that's pretty much it. I mean, and other than working at Magic Mountain for a few years.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's... it feels like it's really impossible.
You go to church?
Yes, I do. I still go to my home church in West Covina, a faith community church.
Oh, okay.
That's a great church.
Great church. I just wonder if you went to one of the pastors there and said, I just need someone to give me a chance. Do you know of anybody in the church that hires people and might have a job? I just need a chance. Might be one way to, you can always go on disability, but it'd be great if somebody would give you a chance to build a record of regular employment. Mylon, what are your thoughts?
Well, I think going on disability would be the biggest mistake you could possibly make, and I'll tell you why. Because it admits and agrees with your mother about her assumptions about you. And I think that would be a tremendous step backwards. You know, when you talk about God working against you, really, the world is working against you.
Yeah,
Adam and Eve broke and helped break this world.
Yep.
All of creation groans. The flesh goes contrary to God's will. Your family of origin has created very negative messages that you believe now. And they're reinforcing that. And then you have an enemy who also wants to see you discouraged. He destroys and breaks down and steals. So you've got a situation where I would be very careful that you believe and say that God's working against me, when in fact he tells us that we must get out and sow seeds. And we, all the parables in the Bible are about reaping and sowing. Like, when's the last time you applied for a job, for instance?
Just yesterday, actually.
Good. And then what about before that?
The day before.
Good.
I mean,
well, then,
every day.
Good.
I mean.
Then that is very encouraging to me because, Steve, this guy is trying every day.
Well, he's responsible.
He's reaping and sowing.
Right.
So I want to encourage you, and then I want to encourage you to get any job you can. Any job.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because, you know, at Starbucks, anything you can get anywhere, because what the average employer is looking for is consistency of employment, not how much you make. And if they see a track record of consistency of employment, that is what causes them to say, well, then I'll upgrade you to a bigger position and more money.
Well, and Renee, it's easy for us to say this. We have, you know, great jobs, and but you know, if all you can do is be a dishwasher, go be a dishwasher and be the best dishwasher that's ever been, and be consistency, and then you break that 6 year history, and you, that's really what you're trying to do, is break the 6 year history, and so you get that job, you start asking for jobs maybe lower than the level that you're trying to get, and you be really good at it, and that begins the process back.
Okay.
Don't listen to your mother.
Yeah, you sound like a great guy, Renee.
Okay.
Hey.
Yeah, I mean,
you call us back when you get your first job. I'm praying, Renee, right now that you are going to find employment and find it soon. And we ask that in the name of Jesus, who we believe in around here. And God bless you. I'm going to send you a copy of Healing is a Choice. And I think that's going to help you. And I pray that it will. God bless you, and thanks for calling. 1-800-229. Yeah, 1-800-229-3000 for the next 2.5 hours. We'll be back right after this.
First time I listened to the program, I was pretty much hooked just because of the honesty and compassion and caring that was given to the callers.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
It's just amazing to me the impact the ministry has had on people's lives.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and transformation. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I can't think of a better place. There's been times that my husband and I have talked about it when money maybe is a little tighter or whatever, and I thought, well, but it seems like I will turn on the radio and I will hear something. I'll think that's why I do it, because there's just so much help there. And the way it's handled is just awesome.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
This is Max Licato. I want to encourage you, when you are coping with life's issues, that there's a better way. Coping can be a good mechanism for brief periods in tough situations, but life is much sweeter when you can work through some issues and aren't faced with a lifetime of coping. That's why New Life created their Healing is a Choice weekends. Whether you struggle with anxiety or depression or grief or anger or boundaries or any issues stemming from abuse, maybe you've never dealt with the shame and the sorrow from a past abortion, or you're having marital issues and you need to get back on track in your marriage, the Healing is a Choice weekend for you. Call the good folks at New Life. Check it out. Call 800-NEW-LIFE. That's 800-639-5433. Or go online to newlife.com. The Healing is a Choice weekend is just for you.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
Well, we were just talking to Dave Stoop on the line, and he just had his knee replaced. And you know, I was just really excited to know that they don't saw, you know, off one and then put something in there.
Yes, they do.
They do inside, but yeah. But not the whole leg.
Okay, good.
Anyway.
Anyhow, Dave called in just to say he's doing well.
Yeah, so good to see him. And what time are you going up there?
I'm going to go up there around 2:30 or 3.
I might meet you there.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Anyway, we're back. We are back. So back. And let's go to Betty from Antioch, California. KFIA is the station. Hello, Betty.
Hi. It's great to talk to you guys.
Well, it's great to talk to you. I mean, so far it is. I mean, it may turn south here any moment, but I like it so far.
Betty, don't let him give you that.
Well, I'll give you a little information and then my question.
Okay.
I've been married to my husband for 33 years. We have constant marital problems. There's like a disconnect every week or two. And we went for some marriage counseling, and they gave us some ideas to try to keep things even keel, but no major changes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I reconnected with my husband's sister, and we had a long visit, and she remembers everything that happened in her family. And she disclosed a lot of things that my husband has never said.
Mm.
And so the first thing I found out was that his dad was a rageaholic. And she told me of an incident where I guess he was supposed to mow the lawn or something, and he was watching TV. And his dad walked in the room and went over and just picked him up over his head, threw him across the room so he hit the wall. And I was shocked. I was like, that happened? I said, my husband's never mentioned any physical abuse. And then the second thing, the other concern I had, was that he spent summers with his grandparents every year when he was a young boy. And his homosexual uncle lived there and had access to him. And we found out that his cousin came to him and disclosed that this uncle approached him sexually with pornography to have relations with him. And I asked my husband, "You were there every summer. Did he ever make advances?" He goes, "No, I don't remember anything." So I he's just like, he shuts down emotionally all the time, just goes into a quiet mode. And I took him through this one series to kind of bring up a little bit about his childhood, and he did recall a few things. But I just don't know what to do to help him. Like, does he need, like, a hypnotherapist, someone that can, I don't know how you take somebody's mind where they don't want to go.
Well, wait a second. He's never even had counseling, right, about any of this?
Not personal counseling. Yeah. Just we've had marital counseling, like how to keep from arguing and how to, you know, care and love for, you know, love
right.
each other.
So, man, Mylon, what are you thinking? I mean, you don't want to bring up stuff that may not have happened, or you don't want to put ideas that may not have happened, or assume that it happened, and you want him to deal with it.
There's multiple kinds of counseling out there. And there are marriage counseling philosophies that we just want to deal with the here and now, and we just want to give you new ideas for how to be less reactive or new ways to love each other.
Yes.
And that's what you're describing to us.
Yeah.
There's another type of marriage counseling which says you are the sum total of your entire history, and the current reactivity you have in your marriage is a sum total of the good stuff and the difficult stuff that was put into your life. The odds are, before you ever got married, by the way, the odds are your husband has been shutting down and retreating way before he ever met you.
Oh, yeah. You see? That's totally it.
So,
he's very extremely passive.
Right.
People can do things, and he's just like it bounces right off of him.
Right. And so that was a learned behavior on his part. And so I would recommend that you find a marriage counselor that looks at history, and that you can go on a joint journey together of exploring each other's history. So it's not just all about him, because you have a history as well. And there
yes.
were good things, and there were not so good things in yes. your history. And as a couple begins to understand those things, compassion and empathy begins to develop for the younger you, and why you might be averse to conflict, why you might fight or flight or freeze. And all of these things started a long time ago in our families of origin, and I would highly recommend you find a good counselor that understands all that, and that's where you spend your time. One last thing is that as the mind is stimulated and you begin to start to connect dots, more dots start to form. And with prompting and remembering and safe places, the brain will start to remember, your mind will start to remember, and start to connect more dots. Eventually, the goal is to be able to create an autobiographical sketch of yourself so you understand why I do what I do. Then you have compassion and empathy for yourself, and you have the ability to begin to change things.
All right. So from all that, what would be a really good next step for her to take with him?
Well, can I just say one thing? We did that. I bought this series called Binding the Wounds. It's a husband and wife. They're both psychologists. They're a team. And I bought the videos, and it takes you from your childhood. It everything you said, it took us through that, and some of the things did come up about how he felt when, you know, things happened, but not these big things. He didn't recall the big ones. But I showed empathy, and there was some really close moments, and we went through it, and it's over.
Well, that's why it becomes a lifestyle, that we have those conversations, becomes a lifestyle.
So if you
it's not a one-time event.
Yeah, I'm going to send you Mylon's book, the How We Love. But this is one of those situations, if you really wanted him to honestly open up in a safe environment, you'd come to the marriage weekend. That would be probably the best thing you could do from a therapeutic, spiritual point of view. But what do you think she should do next?
Well, my next step would be to read How We Love and begin going around the comfort circle every day together,
okay. All right.
reciprocally,
All right.
and that would be my next step.
So I have the book, So the comfort circle every day.
Yeah, because you're going to get him talking. It's the opposite of him shutting down emotionally.
And let me just say this from a guy that's from time to time been shut down emotionally. Go easy. You know, don't expect these great long comfort circle conversations in the beginning or demand, you know, things. I mean, that's my thought.
I couldn't agree more. You have to have expectations that are appropriate to where people are at.
Right. All right.
Okay. Although that sounds great. We will do that.
First time I did it, I cried like a baby in your office. Okay, but anyway, it really does.
You feel strongly that I shouldn't take him to get hypnotized to take him back into his childhood?
No, I don't think that's necessary right now.
No.
Okay.
All right. Glad you called. I'm going to send you the 7-Minute Marriage Solution, since you already have
The good thing about the 7-Minute Marriage Solutions is it gives you, in a 7-minute format, what to do every day. Again, the emphasis is do something every day.
Eyeball to eyeball.
Absolutely.
And in this, the 7 minutes is with scripture and devotional time. And it doesn't replace the comfort circle, but it's something that can help you kind of reboot the relationship there. But nothing is as powerful as the comfort circle.
Well, and then Betty has her issues, of course. And if he's a shutdown, she probably wants to pursue and make him connect, and she feels not good when he's not connected. So she's got to work on that stuff, too.
All right. 1-800-229-3000. Now, we need your help and support here. And the reason we do is that we want to help people. Listen to this from Franco. The workshop, Every Man's Battle, with the support of the small group, My New Brothers in Christ, made me accelerate forward for the first time in my long battle with this little lie that has almost destroyed my entire being. God has restored not only my life with the words in the workbook, but He gave back my chance to be a man of God. For the first time in my life, this is the closest I've been to Him. I'm excited to someday walk close to Christ and smile. I'm looking forward to sharing this experience with my 19 and 16-year-old boys, as they too have this poison in their system. This should be mandatory for everyone at some point to do this workshop. Thank you for being real and listening to God. That's Franco. He went to Every Man's Battle, and now he's going to be the man that his 16-year-old and 19-year-old want him to be.
That's a great story.
If you want to get rid of this little habit, this little thing, you come to Every Man's Battle. I've said it before. A lot of people, all they think the Christian life is, ooh, I was a bad boy today. I looked at pornography. Oh, today I was a good boy. I didn't. Versus working through that and having a mission and a purpose in life and feeling fulfilled, like I've made a difference today in somebody's life, not just monitor myself as to whether I was a good boy or a bad boy. I'll tell you, it'll change everything. You call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask about Every Man's Battle. It's a workshop and it's a book. It'll change your life. We'll be back.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest particularly my relationship with God. I see him in a more accurate form and begin to trust him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life, or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. I was talking about Every Man's Battle. It is this Friday in Orange County. And if you're a woman whose husband, boyfriend, or some other person that you know that's male is struggling, you tell them, call and get in there and have the best Thanksgiving of your life because they did it. And you can see a brand new Thanksgiving thought or verse every day at newlife.com. Let's go to Gina from Orlando, Florida. WTLN is the station. Hello, Gina. How are you?
Hello. I'm good, thank you. This is really raw and fresh for me, but
right.
I just found out for the second time in a year that my husband has connected with someone on a business trip.
What does that mean, connected?
Well, the first time it was almost physical, but they stopped. Nothing happened. This time, it's been 2 weeks since the trip, and I found emails.
Oh, dear.
So I call that an emotional affair because they've been talking on the phone.
Sure.
Exchanging emails. Here's my question. If I hadn't looked at his email, I probably wouldn't know about either of these circumstances.
Right.
We went to Christian counseling this morning. I go to counseling. He came with me today, and she told me that I'm not his mother, that I shouldn't be checking his email and his phone calls and his records, that I should trust God to do his will.
And what did the counselor say when he said that?
No, the counselor told me that.
The counselor told you. I'm sorry. I missed that.
No, that's okay. But I have this feeling, and I don't do it all the time. I'm not a watchdog because I don't want to be obsessed with that. But something told me to look the other day, and there they were. And
yeah.
I just feel like if I hadn't looked, how would I know?
You don't trust your husband, do you, Gina?
Not at all.
Okay, and that has a history probably larger than these two emails.
21 years.
Okay, and what has he done over the years that has caused you to not trust him? Just give me one or two examples.
Well, he has an addictive personality.
Okay.
And so when he's doing something, he's all in, and it's all about that. It can be alcohol. It can be pornography. It has been Bible reading. It has been so many things. And I know when he's being in that addictive mode, and I know he's being dishonest with me so that he can, you know, participate in those activities. So I know things are, and he has told me to my face that he will not be honest with me about everything because of my reaction.
Right. So then really you have, and then why are you in counseling?
Because I needed to know how to live every day knowing that anything could happen.
Well,
my husband
is
addicted to adrenaline,
and,
you know.
And that is really a rough spot for you, Gina, and I appreciate that you get it. I appreciate that you're trying to get help. Is there any way he would go into a couples counseling office with you to begin to work through this?
I can count on two hands how many counselors we've been to, and it's always when it gets deep and raw, we need to stop. We can't afford this. I can't do this anymore. I've got to work.
Okay, so then what's going to have to happen is you're going to have to ultimately confront your husband with what you know, and you're going to have to draw your own boundaries as to what you will require in order to continue in relationship with him and what the parameters are going to be. If you do nothing, he'll continue to do the same thing for the rest of his life.
Right.
Right. Right. Well, today he went with me. I said, you either put yourself in the counseling situation or get help somehow, or I'm done, because I cannot.
Help for what, Gina? Help for what? What do you ask him to get help for?
Help for his addictive tendencies, okay, and how that's controlling.
Okay, but I would also tell him I know about this relationship with this person.
Oh, he knows. Yeah.
Okay. Well, listen, I don't like the response that the counselor gave.
I agree.
Because it shouldn't even be an issue. My wife should have full access to my computer, my emails. It just shouldn't be an issue. And in fact, she, like someone like you, should look at emails so much that you don't even want to look at emails anymore, because it's always so, there's nothing there. But you've right. got distrust. Look, sometimes the only way you can gain trust is a lie detector test taken on a regular basis. I don't recommend that for everybody. But, you know, a step down from that is going through emails every now and then to be sure, or text messages, that things aren't. You have that right because you've been betrayed. Now, I don't know if you heard the beginning of the program, but there's a woman in the battle. The woman went there, and it changed everything for her. But he needs to be in every man's battle. He needs to go to the workshop. Because
he did.
He did? Okay, how long ago did he go?
About 5 years ago, but he did not follow up with the group
okay.
afterwards.
So he needs to go again. I mean, it's a relapsing problem, and you need to get him to go back and this time do what he's told to do, to comply, and right. then you've got some hope.
Right. Well, he did agree today to start seeing the counselor himself.
All right. Okay.
So, and to work on his addictive personality, not to work on why did he, you know, connect with someone. Mm-hmm. Well, he knows why, but, you know, it's not, we're not doing the marriage counseling together. He's doing this because she basically said, if you don't change something, you will do this again. And
yeah.
this is going to continue no matter
okay.
how good a wife I am.
All right.
Or, you know.
Does he have Every Man's Battle, the book?
We have all the books.
You got all the books, all right. Does he have, do you guys have How We Love from Mylan and Kay?
I do not have that one.
All right, let me send that to you. I think that's going to help and give you some insight. And I'm glad you called. You know, that... Sherry's here. Hi, Sherry.
I was listening outside.
Yeah. You know, the therapist said, don't be his mother, don't be checking his email, after she's discovered he's emailing a woman. I don't like that response. I don't like people being mothers, I mean, to their husbands, but,
well, we have
man.
To face reality.
Yeah.
And we have to ask ourselves, what is really going on here? And God is a God of truth and reality and living in an awareness of reality,
yeah.
not turning a blind eye.
You had a flat tire?
I did, and I have something to say to that woman and that man, right?
Okay.
Having just come back from Women in the Battle.
You've got about 30 seconds.
30 seconds. So I have a flat tire, and they take my tire off this morning, and I see right away that there's a nail in the tire.
Mm.
And I go, oh, rats, it's a problem with the tire. But then he pulls the tire off, and there is steel belting showing all on the inside. The problem is not the tire. It's the alignment.
Mm.
When our lives are not aligned,
mm-hmm.
when we're not in alignment, when we're out of God's word,
yeah.
we're going to struggle like this. So it doesn't matter if someone is looking like they're working on recovery. They have to really be aligning their lives to the Lord and getting right.
All right. So many things you could do. But if you're a man this weekend, you could be in Every Man's Battle. And when you do what they say and you get involved in the sustained victory, it really works. I don't know if anything works better. There's some programs that, you know, they want you to quit your job, go live with them for 6 months, and maybe that's what you have to do. But try this first to see if you can turn this thing around in a weekend. Hey, listen, we love you, we care about you, and man, do we ever need your help and support. If you join Club New Life, which is only $25 a month, that's right, only $25 a month. I know that's a lot for some of you, but for many, it's nothing. And we'll send you a Bible. We'll give you a CD every month that I do for you with the teaching that you won't hear here, and we'll highlight some things about the ministry. And then also you get discounts on the things that we do. Or maybe you could give us that year-end gift that you've been thinking about, that maybe we would be the beneficiary of that year-end gift. It would sure help. It would sure be a blessing to us. Thank you for being with us. Thanks, Sherry, for joining us for 3.5 minutes. Thanks, Mylan. We'll see you next time here on New Life Live.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.
Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today.